We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Fellas, listen up. All you ever ask for is an opportunity. You got it today. Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
The Rock Pile Report with Buffalo Bills season ticket holder Drew Geer.
Be aggressive. You have literally nothing to lose. You're a borderline football team. If I don't keep laughing about this stuff, my teeth are going to turn around and devour my brain.
The Bills make me wanna.
Welcome everybody to another edition of the Rock Pile Report podcast. I'm your host, Bill, season ticket holder Drew Geer. That's my producer, Chris Krueger. And this is a continuation of our free agency conversation with Nate Geary from last week, or from yesterday, because honestly, it's just, when we get together, we can't shut the hell up. We have too much to say, too much to cover. And so in that way, we've broken into two pieces, and here is the second half of our free agency conversation.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
So far we've identified this Bills offseason as a win, okay? It's a feather in our cap. It's always interesting to then pivot and look around to how other teams around us fared, because it's really how you're going to know where we ended up. In terms of, I don't know, even though it's early, in terms of how other teams are prepping their squads, including some of the ones we're going to see this upcoming season, who might have similarly done a solid job getting their teams prepped for the upcoming season, what teams out there might have fallen on their faces in the process. There's always winners and losers when it comes to this stuff.
Always.
It's where I want to start this segment of the conversation. Free agency 2021, Chris, we start with the winners.
Because they're winners. Winners get to do what they want.
First of all, Tampa Bay. Is it just me or is Tom Brady kind of fun when he's not in our division?
He's a beaut.
I love the fact that he got hammered and says doesn't remember.
He threw the Lombardi trophy.
He says he doesn't remember throwing it. He's like, I don't remember
he
that.
He has become likable, and it's the worst thing that's happened to
pop
culture.
It's the worst thing that's happened to me ever. Because I feel like I've hated that man. I've said so many horrible things about him. And yet somehow...
offensive, terrible things that would get me fired from my job I've said about Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah. No, I've said things about his family. I've wished bad things. Generations of his family that haven't been born yet. 100%. I've wished terrible 100%. Things on.
Yep.
And yet somehow watching him not only annihilate the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Brought I said I was rooting for the Patriots. There, I did it. Rooting for the Tampa Bay Bucks in that game. And I meant it, and it felt good watching it.
I didn't watch a whole lot of the game. Chris was over at my house.
Second half, you didn't watch a whole lot of it.
My kid was sick, had a fever. I didn't feel like I missed much. And it turns out I didn't. I missed nothing. Yeah. I missed more bludgeoning. That's all I missed, was just more bleeding by the Kansas City Chiefs. But watching him get walked out of the marina by the backup quarterback.
Ryan Griffin.
Taking him to his vehicle because he's hammered. Like, hey, I'm going to put you in the backseat of a cab now. We're going to get you the hell out of here. Don't wave at the people. He's trying. He's trying to wave, even though his arms are being held. That's how you know he's hammered.
That's how you know.
And he's trying to move. He's like, all right, don't talk to anyone, Tom. And we've Tom's all, like, listen, what are you talking about? These people
we've all been
friends.
There, and Drew has been there once every week his entire life.
Yes.
And that's the thing. When I see that scene right there, I'm conflicted. Because I want to say in that moment, I like the guy. And I look at what his team did this offseason. How do you not like it? They brought back everybody.
Everyone.
They brought back everyone. Levante David, a guy that I didn't think they could ever afford. They kept their weapons together.
Yep.
They kept most of their line together. I mean, nothing.
Coaching staff. Nothing they changed. Still have Brady. Maybe they'll lose Leonard Fournette, but I'm sure they'll sign someone that'll make us say, how the hell do they? Yeah, they. Listen, Jason liked. I didn't particularly think he was a good GM. They stood by him, and it's crazy what Tom Brady can do to make everyone else look really smart.
Yeah, right. Hey,
AKA Bill Belichick.
Where have we seen this before? Tom Brady goes to a franchise and all of a sudden everyone wants to play with him?
Yeah, I mean,
it's not like it's ever happened before. The guy's just so magnetic.
That's why you're seeing the Patriots overpaying for all their talent because they don't have Tom Brady as a seller anymore. He's not there for guys to go take less money to go win.
Nope.
The Bills are that now. Bitches.
And the funny thing is Tampa Bay is one of those teams that lost badly some games last year. And yet come the playoffs did the typical Tom Brady-led Patriots thing, which is they just crushed everybody who was in front of them. They found ways to overcome everyone. And then when it mattered, when it really mattered, Tom Brady was so sharp you couldn't touch him. That was it. It was over for you. So they just got stronger and they're a winner. How about this? Ron Rivera. One of my winners. If anybody deserved Coach of the Year, I thought it was Rivera. I mean, Stefanski did well. What is your love affair with the Cleveland Browns?
What's my love affair with them right now? Are you looking for a temperature
check? Just in general, why do you like the Cleveland Browns? They've subjected me as a fan to more abominations of football than any other team.
I feel for them. I feel like they know my pain. I feel like their fan base knows. Maybe it's more of an affinity for their fan base than it is for the actual team. Having said that, they drafted DeShone Kizer. You know that was a big move for me.
I remember you loved
They drafted that. Brady Quinn, also big for me. So listen, they have a long lineage of drafting Notre Dame players that never work out, and I appreciate him for that.
Yeah, and Brian Daboll, somehow the offensive coordinator who got Brady Quinn not once but twice.
Don't you dare talk shit about my man Brady Quinn.
I'm gonna, and it's gonna be great. Riverboat Ron, okay? Kevin Stefanski broke Cleveland's drought, and that's an undertaking.
Yeah.
That's big. It's meaningful, right? Kind of the same way when Sean McDermott was the coach I think it would have meant more in the eyes of people who vote on those things if he had won it for Buffalo instead of kind of, hey, you broke the drought on some other quarterback's arm talent. It would have gone a little bit farther in the eyes of the voters. But I think Rivera deserved it because he overcame hurdles bigger than anybody else. Cancer costing him huge portions of his preseason. An offense that had four different quarterbacks.
Including a guy with half a leg.
The de facto worst human to hold title of NFL owner running his franchise.
Yep.
I mean, I know this pops up and some of our listeners have emailed and been like, are you okay? What did Dan Snyder do to you? Why are you just always mad at him? The man is human garbage. Mm-hmm. Okay? He's a money grubber. He's just this morality. He has no morals. He's a ghoul.
Don't talk about Chris like that.
I keep hoping that someday his private yacht's going to get seized by Somali pirates, and then the U.S. will refuse to pay his demands.
I wonder if he
and he's
his,
that's it. That's the end. That's how this. He, that's how we're finally rid of Daniel Snyder.
I wonder if he emailed Washington's Washington's employee base and told them they were trying to maintain their families.
Oh yeah.
I wonder if they did that.
Oh, hey, no jabs here. No jabs at our current owners.
What? Who said that?
But the fact that they landed Ryan Fitzpatrick and Curtis Samuel, you took an offense that already had Scary Terry.
One of the most underrated receivers in the league.
Some really underrated running back talent.
Yeah.
Okay? and one of the best defenses anywhere in football.
The best defensive line.
The best defensive line, hands down. An all-star cast on defense. A team that nearly took down the Super Bowl champion Bucks in the wild card round. Ugh, you give them a real quarterback and some weapons.
I actually like Taylor Heinicke a little, too.
Could we see this be the team that Ryan Fitzpatrick makes his first playoff appearance for?
Are you putting a Seagram's bet on this?
I would.
You would or you are?
There's I am. I'm throwing down the gauntlet.
Would you be willing to, in that division, knowing what it is, would you be willing to put down three Seagram's for them to make the playoffs? And maybe more so, would I be willing to bet against you for it, is what I want to know.
I'm in. I'm game if you are.
For three Seagram's that the Washington football team footballers the playoffs.
We're all going to get diabetes. It's fine.
I just want to point out, this three Seagram bet is just for them to make the playoffs.
You just have to make the playoffs.
Done.
God.
Done.
I'm in.
Oh, and the handshake.
I'm in.
It's real. It just happened.
I'm in.
I think he's a winner, right?
Fitzy?
No.
Ronnie Riverboat.
Ron Rivera. His team got better. Who were some of your winners? Is there anybody who sticks out in your mind as they won free agency?
The Miami Dolphins.
By not doing anything?
I thought that they had a much better offseason than they did last year.
Their own fan base was really upset, but I think it was smart for them to wait.
I love the Will Fuller signing.
Well, that's it. Obviously. You wait and get value.
Obviously.
Yeah, I know.
Notre Dame guy.
But you wait and you get value. There, again, we talked about teams laying in the weeds. That's what this is. It's a team with some cap space who said, hey, listen, we're going to restructure some things. We're going to make some moves.
Yeah.
We're just going to do it smart, which is upsetting to Dolphins fans because they're used to the lunacy.
Spending money and
they're
being
used to
stupid.
New England Patriots lunacy. They're used to being the New England Patriots this offseason.
So I also like the Jets offseason.
Ooh, okay.
I like Carl Lawson. I like Corey Davis. I don't think he's a wide receiver one, but I think he's a good piece for them, a good culture fit. I like Robert Saleh, and maybe that alone makes them the winner as they have Robert Saleh.
Corey Davis said something interesting today during a press conference where he said that he was brought in with the understanding that Sam Darnold would be his quarterback.
And I'm brought in with the understanding that, you know, we are all of the mind that we are way more well endowed in our pants than we really are. So, like Corey Davis thinks Sam Darnold's going to be the quarterback, we're all dreaming about the phallus that we don't have. Okay, fellas?
What a graphic turn for a podcast.
Yeah.
And yet he's not
spot
wrong.
Spot on.
He's not wrong.
Spot on.
Well, maybe for you too.
Chris is in my phone as Chris Thundergun Kruger.
Yeah, see, that makes sense. I thought it was going to be well hung.
Yeah, listen, it's not the hair, and it's certainly not his personality.
No, there's only one last thing.
There's only one thing. Joe Flacco is one of my last winners. That guy's a stiff, and he's a quitter. Maybe one of the worst that I've seen, the most egregious I've seen in the last few years. And yet he tricked the Eagles into giving him a $3.5 million contract.
You got to give it to him.
I thought he'd have to retire. I figured after watching him play last year, okay, dude. Monday Night Football, he goes out there for the Jets. He has them winning all game. And then he casually just throws two interceptions that cost them the game. And the whole time, at no point does he come out and play like he feels like he has any...
Maybe it's because he was asked to throw those interceptions.
Like, there's anything on him to go out there and fix it. I mean, he reached Jay Cutler with the Miami Dolphins level of I don't give a fuck. Like, that's where he hit. I mean, you're talking about the guy who famously refused to help Lamar Jackson in his rookie playoff loss. Okay? Who then just went on to shrug his way through a few more NFL seasons with random teams. This guy should have washed out. That should have been it. And yet somehow he's back to cash another check.
Dude, don't,
he's a winner.
Don't you have a bet with somebody?
Yes, a case of beer bet.
A Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco bet.
Wasted. Me and one of my best friends from high school, Neil Branson, made a bet on who would have the better career, Matt Ryan or Joe Flacco. And like all wasted bets, none of them have any, like there's no structure to what that looks like.
But that one's very easily very easily depictable. Like, I can tell you who has had the better career.
Who?
It's very easily. It's Matt Ryan. It's not even close.
Joe Flacco's got a ring, baby!
What the fuck does that mean?
He's got the hardware.
Marino doesn't have a ring, and are you going to say that Flacco's better than Marino?
Maybe. Just to upset you, maybe I'd say it.
So it's like saying Troy Aikman's good, then. Are you on the Troy Aikman's good because he has Super Bowls?
No. All right.
Would he be? Would
All right,
he,
you
would
found
he
a
be
way
in the Hall of Fame without Super Bowls.
This is why I love talking to Nate, because he finds a way.
Can we get to the losers? Because I am ready to blaze some fucking losers, dude.
Chris, hit it!
Wow, you suck at this.
The losers. Who's up first, Nate?
I don't know. Who do you want to go first? Do we want to torch the Titans first, or do we want to torch the Chiefs first?
How about this? Let's start with the Bears. How about the Bears, a franchise that just keeps kicking its fans when they're down?
Like in the nuts.
No, at least the Bills, when they were shitty for two decades, right? The Bills sucked for 20 years. I had season tickets for a decade of it. Every year they would trot you out something to get excited.
That's right,
about.
A T.O.
They would bring you something.
T.O. spikes.
To get you excited about. Instead, this is like the Bears are taking a dominatrix approach to their fan base. They're saying,
pouring hot wax on your chest.
You're going to watch your quarterback go to be a backup somewhere else for $2 million. And then we're going to bring in Andy Dalton and pay him $10 million. And then they spit on you.
And in an attempt to go get a wide receiver named Kenny Galladay so that we can overpay him to match him with a guy we just franchise tagged in Allen Robinson who doesn't want to be here.
Who doesn't want to be here?
We'll just let go of our all-pro cornerback in an attempt to go and land him. Oh, and we don't land him, so now we got rid of our cornerback for no reason. Kyle Fuller, for no reason.
We have all this cap space now. Don't worry, guys. We have moves playing. It's like
Ryan Pace is playing
as they hit you with a
5D checkers.
As they're hitting you with a riding crop and spitting on you. Like, that's what it would be.
It's amazing.
That's one of the losers.
It's amazing.
Is Bears fans. Bears fans really lost. Let's talk about.
Was that about the Chiefs, though? Could I real quick?
Yeah.
Joe Tooney, $80 million a year.
Let's go.
Or $80 million a year. $80 million contract. Are you kidding me? What are
you
they
pay
doing?
The Guardian.
And then they almost also got Trent Williams. Imagine had they also done that. They would be in cap hell.
And we have something later on in the show. We're going to talk about that.
Reckless.
I'll tell you this. That right there. Ooh, the fact that they didn't land him actually kind of speaks a little bit to some things. There's some reality setting in Kansas City for their fans. And I think their GM that, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. No. We're in a certain place now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they fit the losers category. How about this? Mike Mayock and John Gruden.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh no, I have a diatribe for you.
Oh, do you have a Venn diagram?
John Gruden is a head coach. He won the Super Bowl in 2002 with an inherited roster, right? It wasn't his. Ever since then, he's gone 64-80. He didn't build anything. He never has. And last year, they suffered some of the most mind-numbing losses I've ever seen. They lose to the Chargers in overtime on a quarterback, on three consecutive quarterback sneaks from the one-yard line. And then they lose to Miami. Do you remember that? On a Saturday night, it was an abomination.
Yes, I remember that.
And he just dumbfounded, had to get in front of a camera and go, yeah, well, we tried, and we had the lead, and with no time left, we fucking didn't have Lee. We fucked it up. Meanwhile, Mike Mayock has pissed all over the idea of TV personnel and draft pundits being hired as GMs. That's done. He killed it. He's been talking it on TV, and now, since then, he's overseen the construction of a terrible roster, 19-29. What I like about this is that Brandon Bean has had the same. Like, Brandon Bean didn't get brought in until after the 2017 draft cycle and free agency cycle. So Brandon Bean and Mike Mayock have had the same operating time as GMs in this league.
Crazy to think.
One of them is 19-29. The other one's 29-16. And one of them has revived a franchise to the point where players are willing to take less to play there. The other one...
Yeah.
Has been nearly assaulted by a wide receiver that he thought that he hung the moon in trading for. He's had some disastrous free agency classes who now I think his first one's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what has he done? What has he done?
Nothing.
And then what they did was they traded away three interior offensive linemen, but signed another running back.
Hey,
hey,
that'll Drake fix and Josh, baby.
Drake and Josh. I hate you so much. Chris, I hate the fact that he's this much younger than us because he knows all these pop culture references.
That was my show, dude. Drake and Josh. God, dude.
But they traded away three interior offensive linemen. Yeah. And what did they do? Then they gave a raise to a backup center.
Hey, they got Richie Incognito back, though.
Jesus Christ. Who's he going to cut the head off now?
Gruden.
Gruden.
He can't die, though. He's Chucky, so.
I mean, the real losers here are the Raiders fans. And then can we say the Jaguars? Your head coach is publicly bitching about the process and how the free agency process is hard. I don't know who created this.
Jaguars.
I mean, look at this. Urban Meyer, first of all, stop crying.
You got Chris Manhertz, dude. Chris Manhertz.
I mean, first of all, your coach is crying about how overly complicated the legal tampering period is, which is hilarious. Like, no, you can't just smile and take advantage of some poor high school kid who doesn't like, he's underrepresented. His parents don't understand. Maybe, if you're playing in the SEC, maybe there's a little cash. Maybe there's a little cash involved.
Maybe.
Yay. Scam Newton. I mean, guys, that never happens at Alabama. Don't worry. That never happens in Alabama.
Not once. Not never.
Never. Not never. This is overly complicated, this legal tampering period. Good luck to you trying to figure out how to motivate guys who are making more money than you. Like, Nick Saban died on that hill. Steve Spurrier died on that hill.
I like Urban.
Do you like him as a head coach?
No. Not really. He's fine. They're going to have Trevor Lawrence. That's all that's going to matter.
Here's the thing that bothers me. What makes them the biggest losers is that
there's no way they're even close to as big as a loser as their division foe, the Titans, are. So
I don't know. Over the last week, okay, they spent a ton of cash. $107 million in guaranteed total dollars.
Yeah.
And almost 20% of the 2021 cap, and came away with nothing meaningful. One cornerback, one wide receiver who's past his prime.
Who did they get a wide receiver?
Marvin Jones.
LaVisquez Chenault.
No, Marvin Jones.
Oh, they signed Marvin Jones?
A whole lot of guys who are backups on most NFL rosters. Chris Manhertz, you said it. That's the good one. Player. That's the one that made it. Right? Do people remember him from 2015?
He's from Buffalo.
The Bills signed him. He has one career touchdown reception.
Manhertz?
He's your number two tight end.
Yeah, no, he's from Buffalo. He's from Western New York, Canisius College.
They're like the kid that went to the store when you were little, right? And he had $2 on him. If you and your buddy had some money, you're going down to the corner store, you're little kids.
Yeah.
And you, what was your go-to? What was your go-to candy bar?
Hopefully not a Mallow cup.
If you had $2.
Hershey,
almonds or no almonds? Oh, the cook, fist bump.
Yeah.
Cookies and cream is solid.
Yeah.
I was an Almond Joy and a Snickers guy.
Oh, hell yeah, on the Almond Joy. But maybe
yes!
The Mounds, I'd die on a Mounds Hill.
See? Coconut. It's all about the shredded coconut.
It's all about the coconut. That's why I'm surprised you didn't like that little beer over there.
No, that thing's fucking horrible. I've been chasing it with Moosehead. It's this beer is terrible. They're like the kid who goes and, well, you're buying your cookies and cream. They're buying a boatload of that shitty penny candy that just gets stuck in your teeth, like the bit of honey. And
and like the knockoff red and clear packaging.
Yes, and a few dozen pieces of that bullshit Bazooka Peach Joe rings. Gum. The Bazooka Joe gum that hurts your jaw if you try to chew it for a few minutes. They're trying to make up for quality with quantity. That, not only that, but picture this. For Bills fans who think that we didn't do enough,
yeah,
which they exist, they say, the Bills didn't make that much of a difference. Aside from quality draft capital, unlike the Bills, when we picked up Josh Allen, they were, and still to a degree are,
a flush with cash.
And yet at the same time, in an effort to support the number one draft pick, Trevor Lawrence, a hopefully franchise quarterback, they've done a really shitty job of laying a foundation for that guy. I mean, think about it. Your tight end room is Tyler Eifert and Chris Manhertz. You've got a right tackle who tied for third in sacks allowed.
It's not good.
That's not good. A defense with a few nice pieces at rush linebacker, but nothing else is great about it. Your secondary sucks. So what you're going to do is you're going to Joe Burrow this kid. You're going to hand him a shit roster.
He's better than Joe Burrow, though.
Yeah, but you're going to hand him a shit roster and go, hey, hopefully you can win us some games. Try not to get beat up.
But they're in a bad division.
Okay.
They've got a good running game, and Trevor Lawrence is a franchise quarterback. He's going to likely walk in and have a similar he'll probably be Andrew Luck, and he'll end up being like Andrew Luck on a team that doesn't spend money to surround him with legitimate talent, and then he'll end up being out of league in 7 years because he's got too many concussions.
Ryan Grigson style?
Yeah.
Ryan Grigson, I'll never forgive him for ruining the career of Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I'll forgive him because now their loss is the Bills game.
So, outside of Kansas City, Tennessee.
Yeah, terrible.
Anybody else you think lost?
Bears, Kansas City.
I feel like we kicked everybody.
Do you need to talk about the Titans?
Oh, well, the Titans, the fucking, they got rid of everybody who's caught passes for them the last 2 years.
Their second, third, and fourth leading receivers are gone, and they did not replace them.
No. So good. I'm glad that they're already punting on this season.
Yeah.
I know their fans don't think that they are, but that's a thing. That's a thing. Your team quit on you. Good luck. So when you look at our AFC competition and how the Bills roster stacks up, we talked about it. Right now, the Bills roster is essentially as good, if not just incrementally better than it was last year. As of today, pre-draft, there's still maybe another veteran signing or two out there to be had because there's a lot of veterans on the market.
There are, and they're eventually going to have to go somewhere.
They're going to have to go somewhere because those guys won't go unemployed. They'll take a check
and
anything just to stay relevant because they know there's another one coming the next year.
Closer to training camp.
Yes. So when you look at some of these, how our competition stacks up, Indy's one of those teams. Under the radar team last year, but they hit their stride when the running game got going, right? Their quarterback was surprisingly efficient.
Here's what
Philip Rivers really was.
Here's what I said. I said this to Josh Reed from Channel 4 when he was like, watch out for Indianapolis. They got lots of money. They're going to spend money. I said, no, they're not. And the reason I said that wasn't because I thought they were super cheap. It's because Quentin Nelson's going to be the highest paid guard in football.
Yes.
Darius Leonard is going to be the highest paid linebacker in football.
Yes.
And they already are paying DeForest Buckner one of the highest defensive tackle salaries in the league. So there's money that they need to spend there. And then also they just brought in Carson Wentz and although I don't want to maybe make excuses for them because they should have made moves to be better and they didn't make moves to be better.
No, I mean, the outlook for them in 2021, you have one offensive tackle on the roster that played 20% of last season's snaps. Everyone else is, you're going to have to go find him. You have two starters returning on the defensive line. You lost your wide receiver number one and your second tight end.
Yeah, but they've got people at receiver that are ready to step.
They do.
Paris Campbell, who didn't play in the playoff game against the Bills, he's a guy that's going to be in that rotation, so you're fine with moving on from T.Y. Hilton because he's likely going to take that position. I think they like the kid from USC, Michael Pittman. He came on towards the end of the season, and he played well against the Bills.
Here's the thing that I can't get away from. You brought in Philip Rivers on a one-year flyer, and he actually outdid himself.
He played pretty damn well.
Over 4,000 yards passing.
Yeah,
in that playoff game against the Bills, he was vintage Philip Rivers.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Does their whole season come down to how quickly Reich can rehab Wentz?
Yeah, 100%.
That's it. That's their season.
He has to be as good as Philip Rivers was to get similar results. And can he be as good as Philip Rivers? I'm not totally sure he's going to. Is he getting 4,000 yards?
Chris, what do you think?
I don't know. Well, if there's going to be anybody to rehab Carson Wentz, it's Frank Reich.
It is. This is the only spot for him. But is he getting an upgrade at weapons from Philadelphia to Indianapolis? I'm not sure.
He's getting
an upgrade in running game, 100%.
What are you talking about?
Who the hell are his weapons?
What are you talking about? I was wide receiver 4 for Philadelphia last year.
Yeah, that's right. But this year, I mean, yeah, you might be right, Chris.
Another team that I've kind of been dunking on a little bit this offseason, Pittsburgh.
Schittsburg?
Yeah. Okay. They're always going to have a good defense.
They just lost another corner, too, Sean Nelson.
Sean Nelson.
They just released him.
Wait, well,
who's
yeah.
Playing, who's playing for them?
Well, but their defense is solid in the front seven.
They were, and then they got rid of all of their starting corners.
Yeah, that's a problem. Hey, Minka Fitzpatrick.
But hey, they got Joe Haden. That's fine.
Wait, that guy. That
He's old as shit.
Okay, I called Jared Cook Methuselah. What is that guy? He's Rip Van Winkle. What are we talking wow. about here? How are these guys still playing?
I was going to call him the woman from Emperor's New Groove, but that's fine.
See? These damn millennials.
Yeah, shit. We bring that, them on the podcast. I'm aging you with those references.
I have no idea what that is.
Their that's team has fine. So many question marks on the offensive side of the ball. Left tackle, offensive guard, offensive center. You have none of them returning from last year, and your line sucked in 2020, right? You had no run game to speak of, and you couldn't pass protect, which is why you went to this fast-paced West Coast offense of, hey, we're going to dink and dunk, get the ball out quickly. Because Ben's
and then
not,
he lost Villanueva.
Yep, because Ben's not mobile.
There's Pouncey.
Yep.
And there's Connors.
I wonder if part of the pitch to Juju Smith-Schuster was just, hey.
Please. No, we've no. lost everyone else.
No, no, not please even that. Don't go. Just, hey. You're not a downfield threat. You're a possession receiver.
And that's all we're going
to
be doing.
And that's all we're going to be doing. We need you to save a man's life. Do you want to watch an old man get bludgeoned to death behind a shitty offensive line? Or do you want to be here to try to keep Ben Roethlisberger alive? I feel like that would had to be fair. Part of the sales pitch. And they just appealed to his humanity. And that's why he came back. I really think that's it. I mean, he had the fastest time to throw rating in the NFL last year with a better offensive line than he's going to have this year. How bad are they going to be by comparison? I mean, we have to play them again. We have to play Pittsburgh again this year. How much easier is that?
They're going to look way more like the team we saw than the team we saw in the final quarter of the season than the team we saw in the first three quarters of the season. The 12-0 team compared to the 0-1 whatever team to end the season. That's the team we're going to see. I think Pittsburgh misses the playoffs next year. They do get Devin Bush back. He's a damn good player in the middle of that defense. He helps. He makes that defense better. They lose Vince Williams. So instead of pairing yeah. Devin Bush with Vince Williams, you're kind relying of, only on Devin Bush.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, you're going to have to do what the Bills did in 2017, is just win rock fights. That's it. You're going to hope your defense can hold a team down.
Hey, maybe Big Ben will invigorate himself by sexually assaulting someone. He can turn into a better football player. Go back to his prime.
Oh, carry off the top rope. I had to walk out of the room. Wow. All right. Coming in hot. Hey. Listen, we don't censor our guests. I don't give a shit. That was hilarious. Wow. New England. You've talked about this.
Yeah.
New England, I think they betrayed their own ethos.
C plus B minus.
The thing about New England is that they did the thing that they never did when they were successful, which was you do when they had success, the dynasty, quote unquote, the Patriot way.
Yeah.
Well, no one. I think the uncomfortable reality for Patriots fans is going to be recognizing that the Patriot way was only possible because you had a Hall of Fame quarterback. The second you lose that, you go back to being like every other team. The Patriots are the Miami Dolphins.
The Patriots are doing nothing different than they've done every year under Bill Belichick, other than spending more. They don't have the discount anymore.
No, they don't have the discount. That's
they don't have. They don't have the. You know, they don't have the McDonald's fake Monopoly bucks that you can go in and cash in and go get a guy like Jonnu Smith for $6.5 million. They have to pay him $12.5 million because they don't have Tom Brady. But that's still the type of player that they go on sign. This is Bill Belichick. They draft like shit, and then they go in and find guys in free agency to take pay cuts to basically take over and cover for the fact
yep.
they can't draft.
We questioned Mike Tabate from Lockdown Patriots on that exact topic.
Can't draft.
We talked about how it's funny that edge rusher, right? You drafted Uche. You draft Winovich. Nah, now you're going to go sign Matt Judon for a rush linebacker. Yeah. Well, didn't you just draft two of those guys in the top three rounds?
And you bring Van Noy back.
You bring Van Noy back. You go out and pay two of the highest tight end salaries in franchise history, if not in the league.
It's the third highest.
And you drafted four of them in the last 3 years, and none of them have panned out.
No, none of one.
So it turns out you're paying for the sins of the past is what you're doing as a franchise, just to try to get back to relevance.
Not a one.
That's a problem because we've watched teams like the Dolphins try to do it annually, and it doesn't work.
It does not.
Cleveland and Baltimore. NFC North.
Cleveland.
AFC North.
Cleveland, Nate Geary, you have the floor as you are the...
Yeah, you're our de facto guy on Cleveland.
I liked it. They had a good offseason.
You like what they had?
Like, it wasn't crazy. I think Troy Hill signing was really good. I think they ended up getting him at like 3-point-something million this year on the cap. I would have died for that CB2 contract. Really good signing for them at cornerback. I think he's going to walk in, former Los Angeles Ram, going to walk in and be their number two starter across from, who the hell is the guy? Ward. The guy that they drafted in the first round a couple years ago.
Yes,
they got Greedy Williams, too. They also got Greedy Williams, too. So they've got some nice pieces, and they finally get the starting safety. They go out and get the Colts Walker, that linebacker.
Yes.
They go get another guy as a platoon swap. They didn't get J.J. Watt. And I thought that J.J. Watt would have been a really good pickup for them.
Losing Olivier Vernon, I think, hurts them.
I think he's super overrated, way overpaid.
Really?
He sucks.
Okay. What about losing what's the other pass rushing?
Claiborne.
No. They Ogunjobi.
Ogunjobi. Yeah, he signed someplace else.
That's a thing. So, and then they're right up there, but they're going to be a competitive team, and in my opinion, might be one of the biggest competitions to the Bills in the AFC this year. Am I crazy for saying that?
Yeah.
Watching you.
Who's the fucking quarterback?
Baker Mayfield?
He's not good. And I love Baker. He just isn't good. He's just not good.
I love how he's willing.
He's just not good.
This is the second
I love him to death. From the Browns. He sucks.
This is the second.
Give me DeShone Kizer. He sucks.
I love that we
Mayfield
have Nate Geary here to talk about these things because I'll say these things and no one will listen to
Mayfield
me.
Mayfield sucks.
I like that you're saying it and I can just let you go. Baltimore, you want to talk about quarterbacks that suck, okay? They still didn't have a quote-unquote star wide receiver acquisition to help improve the passing attack.
Sammy Watkins is visiting.
Hang on, because you know that's the problem.
The problem is
they need better wide receivers. Not the fact that their quarterback sucks at throwing the ball to wide receivers.
He could be better if they had better weapons.
Oh!
But marginally, maybe.
Marginally.
Yeah.
But let's not act like he'd hang the moon. He's not pulling a Josh Allen.
No, he's not.
No.
No, he's not.
And yet, I got a drink.
The Ravens got worse. They were the example of what I thought the Bills would be. A team that is very close. They lose one or two pieces. It's not the end of the world, but they definitely took a step back. And they did. And they're also going to be in a position that they're going to have to pay Lamar Jackson a lot of money.
I think it's worse than
you think.
More than
they want to.
Here's why. Baltimore led the NFL in blitz percentage, but finished the regular season almost tied with Buffalo for pressures and sacks. Buffalo's front seven in that...
Good. Matthew Judon's not that good.
Buffalo's front seven... In that playoff game, looked like the more aggressive unit.
They also were missing a couple of starters on that offensive line, if you remember.
I know. But my point is, in terms of the aggression that they were able to bring on the quarterback, the way they were able to harass the quarterback, we were far more effective. Now, I think some of that speaks to the quality of quarterback.
Yeah.
But either way, they've lost three of last year's defensive ends and outside linebackers and haven't replaced them with anybody. So you were a bad rush team, and you got worse in that, or at least less experienced.
Yeah, and
you're not going to replace them all in the draft.
But look what they did last year. They went into the season last year, and they end up getting Ndakwe for nothing in midseason.
And then he sucked.
And then he wasn't that good. So they can go out. They'll find. There's guys in the draft this year again that you can get at the end of that first. And that second round, they could be starters. There's those two kids from Miami. Listen, they'll have opportunities to get better at rush. That team is going to win by their ability to score points, not by how many points they stop.
And this one, I think, is your favorite, the thing you've been waiting on all night. I've kind of left it. I've been waiting for it. The Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I want to start this by saying, in an article over at SB Nation's Arrowhead Pride, a guy named John Dixon, if I'm reading my notes correctly, he put together this interesting article about the idea that the way things have fallen for them this season on the free agency front is what fans should get used to and what the NFL needs to get used to. It's now that Patrick Mahomes is
now that you pay a quarterback,
now that he's getting real money.
Yeah.
First of all, their inability to go over the top for that left tackle. You said it. Now you said it before.
Yep. They were smart not to go over the top. No, he is 33 years old.
They were smart.
Yeah. He got a 6-year deal. It's a 33.
See, and the length would be problematic, but the money you could make happen if you weren't paying a quarterback a 30-ish million-dollar cap.
And supposedly, the 49ers came slightly in over the number that Kansas City was willing to spend. So they would have gone out there. I almost wish they would have gotten Trent Williams, because that would have been an albatross in 3 years. And they'd be tons of dead cap space. And Joe Tooney, in my opinion, is... So they move on from Osemele, Kaliche Osemele, who was a pretty good starter for them. And they got marginally better for 10 times the cost. Joe Tooney's good. He is also 29 years old. He is not young.
No.
So they go out and they go get it. And maybe they don't care, but I guess you paid $80 million to him, who is okay, but like he is not some sort of – he's not Quentin Nelson.
No, and that's, I guess, the thing is you lost the core of your offensive line. You lost your center, your left tackle, and your right tackle.
Well, Nate's mostly upset that they – lost Mitchell Schwartz, considering how close Nate and Jeff Schwartz are.
His piece of shit brother.
Well, here's the thing. Their left tackle, Fisher, okay? People have talked about, oh, Fisher could end up back on our team. He's unlikely to be any help in 2021.
No.
The injuries he sustained in the postseason, there's no way. Right? There's no way he's coming back to save
the
day.
They have no tackles.
No.
I know they like this Russell Niang kid or whatever.
We talked about him last year with Russ Brown from Cover One. But Niang's a nice piece who's unproven because he sat out the whole year.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what he is. Here's what I do know is that they don't have a left tackle.
Nope.
Fisher can't come back and save the day.
They don't have a right tackle.
And the market is now very thin.
Yeah.
Both at right tackle and left tackle.
And maybe you get a decent Jalen Mayfield in Michigan. Maybe you get him at 31. Maybe you can get a starting caliber guy. But, hey, you know what would have been nice? They drafted a tackle last year instead of their running back, who basically was their backup going into the playoffs. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's a little guy. I wouldn't have drafted that little guy in the first round. I don't mind the conversation about first round running backs aren't as extreme for me as maybe they are for other people, but I would not have drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He is a little guy.
Small guy?
He's a small man.
Durability becomes an issue at the NFL.
And he just doesn't do well in between the tackles, and he's also not very fast, so I don't really get it.
Well, and then you look at the rest of Kansas City's roster now. Okay, there's only two pass catchers who have, or three, if you count Hardman.
Do we go on a count
Hill,
Hardman?
Hardman, Hill, and Kelsey, who have experience catching passes from Patrick Mahomes.
Pringle.
Byron Pringle. Did he come back?
Yep.
Okay, cheap deal. Okay.
He's back.
Okay, so is he your two? Is he your three?
He lost Sammy Watkins.
Are Hardman or Pringle your two?
They may have to draft a guy.
That's my point.
And who are you going to draft, wide receiver or offensive line? Rashad Bateman.
And that's where this becomes a problem, because not only were you thin, not only were you thin there, but that's not the reason that you lost that Super Bowl. Because I'll tell you what, you would have won the Super Bowl if your defense wasn't paper thin. Well, guess what? You just lost most of your skill players and starting defensive backs. I mean, what? You have two good defensive linemen, one athletic linebacker that you drafted last year who was hurt for most of the playoffs. I think he missed their entire playoff run. You have nothing really to speak of in terms of a lockdown cornerback. You have Tyrann Mathieu, and you have Daniel Sorensen and Juan Thornhill. So you have three safeties, no cornerbacks, a linebacker, and two D linemen.
They have Sorensen. He's really good, though. He plays lots. Actually, he killed the Bills.
Sorensen is good. He is good. But can safeties stop your lack of cornerbacks when you have four?
Well, they do run a very unique scheme.
Because Spagnuolo's one
that
of the best.
That three safety scheme that works a lot. It's like a 4-2-1. A 4-1 whatever.
I would argue that the Bills have a better offensive line.
Right now, yeah.
Right now, a better skill position group. If you go wide receivers across the board, wide receivers and tight ends.
Skill position, I would include Kelsey in. And if you're.
Oh, I know. Hey, Kelsey and Diggs.
They don't have a better.
Kelsey and Diggs.
Okay, but who's better than Hill when you take Diggs out of the equation?
Okay.
They've got the better.
All right, I'll give you. Well, like,
it's close, but they've got them.
But we have more bodies, and we can spread them, and we can operate an offense.
They can spread it, yeah.
Okay, so we have more skill players.
Sure.
And I think our defense is probably right now better than anything they could field.
They don't have anything. They don't have anyone on the scale of Chris Jones, and they also don't really have anyone on the scale of Tyrann Mathieu.
You think that's the difference that tilts it in Casey's favor still?
Yeah.
So right
Chris
now.
Chris Jones in particular.
So is Casey still the team to beat?
Yeah.
And how far ahead of Buffalo do you think they are as of today?
The Bills have caught up slightly. I think it's closer than it was in January. But they're still the team to beat. They're going to be the team to beat until somebody beats them. The Bills are in position to do it, but they have not done it yet.
Well, this is a Chris. This strikes me as the whole thing with the New England Patriots. You knock on the door.
Gotta slay the dragon, baby.
Sometimes you gotta kick it in.
Well, yeah, there's one last key piece.
Gotta step on the throat.
There's one last key piece to getting ahead, and that's gonna be the draft in April. If we, you know.
100%. They're drafting behind us. They have the same situation
that's
we
right.
do. So when you look at how this UFA period sets up being for the draft, Nate. Given the nature of the free agency market in 21,
yeah,
there's still moves that will trickle in, but the fireworks have already been lit.
Quarterback two.
Big ones. Quarterback two. Quarterback two set the world on fire here. There aren't any earth-shattering, franchise-altering moves left.
Probably not.
It's done. So, as both we as fans... just kind of, and podcasters and just people who like to analyze this shit because it entertains us.
Yes.
Turn our eyes towards the draft. Something our front office has done really hard ever since Bean got here was try to go into a given off season or at least a draft period with no glaring holes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And yet, I'll say this. They'll do it using unflashy veteran signings. And they've done that for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Ever since McDermott got here. I mean, you go back to the, Ramon Humber and the Deion Dawkins, Cordy Glenn. The Matt Milano, Ramon Humber, and the Cordy Glenn, Deion Dawkins. Like, hey, you don't get to play yet, even though we just drafted you.
Yep.
Even though you're better
than... Epinesa and Trent Murphy.
Yes. Even though you're better than this guy... We're not giving you the job. You have to earn it. That's their mentality. And I think that we've got years of evidence at our disposal to show that that's part of the reason for it. Bean is pragmatic, and he understands the salary cap.
Yeah. Yes, he does very well.
And McDermott is a coach who refuses to put rookies in over established veterans until he believes they're ready.
Yeah.
So he kind of tells his GM, listen, I need a body. I need a body who can go out here and give me at least average production until this rookie
is ready.
Shows me that he's ready.
There's
Now, what do you think about AJ Epenesa? Do you think he answered that bell last year?
Absolutely. And not only that, I think Epenesa's going to be the guy, I think, that we look at and we say later on, he ends up being a good pick because of what the Bills asked him to be, which was not the guy he was in college. And I don't know how many teams draft a guy and ask him to lose 25 pounds and saying, we're going to remake what made you a second-round pick.
I thought
that
he
takes
was
balls.
I thought he was a Cam Hayward-type defensive end
that you would want to add 15 pounds to.
Yeah, and then maybe you could drop him into D-tackle occasionally. And you and instead, they said,
it was
no,
a ballsy move, man.
Get thinner. And then, I'll tell you, during the playoff game, there was a rep where it fucked up Phillip Rivers. AJ Epenesa drops into coverage, and I go, oh, shit, who
the
is
guy
that guy?
Drops into coverage.
And you go, wait a minute, that guy shouldn't be out there.
Yeah.
But there he is.
And that quarterback's thinking the same thing.
So when you think about this, Bean relatively takes BPA, best player available. Is that how you foresee the 21 draft playing out?
Yes. Has
so
to be.
Far
has to
as
be.
How this free agency period has set it up.
I think the Bills are going to take a running back. And it's not because it's what I want them to do. I think it's what they're going to do.
I said it. I said it today on Twitter. I don't give a shit.
Because you're petty.
Everyone thought it was funny when I lost my shit that we drafted AJ Epenesa instead of J.K. Dobbins. Oh, everyone thought that was hysterical. Look at Drew. Oh, he's all frustrated. Yeah? Guess who's going to be frustrated now, assholes? When the Bills take a running back at pick 30 and Bills Twitter sets itself on fire and I stand above it and light a cigarette and just laugh. Just laugh.
Just have a good time. Listen, they leave that draft with ETN or Najee Harris, and I'm leaving out the kid from North Carolina, not because I don't like him. It's just because those are really the two that I felt like, okay, they do that. They end up with Najee Harris.
You've said this a lot.
Not
pass,
selling that.
Pass catching running back. Yeah. You've said this.
Both of them can do it.
Over the course of this free agency period, I feel
Bruce
like
Bruce Nolan with the Billy Mays, the meme where he says, you can't draft a running back, and then it's him slapping the flex seal over the hole saying, well, you can draft a guy or a guy that does everything, right? Like, it's just disguising not drafting a running back at 30 because your running back does more than just run downhill and take the ball out of the backfield. Both guys, Harris and Etienne, are good pass-catching backs. I'd love to take either of them.
Cornerback 2 is also really deep. There's talent there to be had if we stay at 30. Hashtag sports wrote a really interesting piece over at their website.
Don't give Mario any credit for it.
I'm going to give Mario some credit here.
Jesus Christ.
No, they wrote an article about, and I'm going to tweet it out at RockPile Report, about how drafting defensive ends outside of the top 20 in a normal draft, most drafts, they went back to, what was this, from 2020 to 2016 and looked at the defensive ends drafted and then looked at their production over the course of those years.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not taking one in the top 10, it sounds like it's a rocky proposition.
Except if you are the kid from Carolina. What the heck's his name? Burns?
Because pass rushers from Carolina have a great pedigree.
He's pretty...
Brian Burns. Went to FSU?
Yeah, FSU.
I know my stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Where did you
He's
come from,
good.
Hair?
He's very good.
Nice job, haircut.
He's very good. He was outside the top 10.
Here's the last question I'll ask before we get out of here. Picking in the late 30s? Or, given the state of our roster and the fact that most of our major needs are already filled, value of trading down against standing pat. Now, mock draft simulators, they're the rage right now. Everyone on Twitter is using them to my fucking just... It's infuriating.
Oh, I know it. I do them just to piss you off.
Most of you people are tagging me in them on Twitter or emailing me screenshots of them, which I... Because you know I hate them.
Keep doing that.
But I gotta say,
mock draft at Rockpile Report. Tweet at us. Drew
now
wants
I know,
to
now
know.
Now I know who to tag.
Genuinely wants to know.
I've gotta say, I respect the pettiness of our listeners. There's been born this narrative that trading back out of 30 is the best way for the team to operate. And here's what I'll say. You go to drafttech.com where friend of the show,
Dean
Kindig's place of business. the point system utilized, where they figure out how much these things are worth.
Sure.
If some of the players that you covet, the ETNs, the Harrises, the Horns, the Newsoms, they're all gone. There's really nobody there who you think the Russos, the I don't even know who else is defensive end. You everyone's gone.
Jalen Phillips, he's gone.
You try to Jalen Phillips, he's the guy who took Russo's job.
Yeah.
If you tried to trade back, it's interesting to think about what that's worth, because you wouldn't land in the top of the second round. The conversion, unless you gave up some other picks in order to make the math work.
Yeah.
Right? So is that really worthwhile?
No.
No.
Not really.
So if you're trading back, you're trading back out of the top. I mean, you're going, I mean, picks 33 through 40 all carry a value of 500 or more on basis points.
I would rather the Bills pick, trade up back into the second round and have 2 second-round picks.
So that's just it. The Bills' first-round pick at 30 is worth 620 points. Trading back inside of 40, they all have a value of 500, which means if you want anything useful, you're giving up a pick to get that. I guess that would mean that you're taking a pick if you're trading back into the late second, that you're getting an extra pick somewhere in the third or fourth round, late third, late fourth round, to make the math work. Here's the question. This regime has done well, okay? Gabe Davis, Teron Johnson, Wyatt Teller, Matt Milano. Mm-hmm. That's 4 hits on 7 picks in the fourth to fifth round range. But historically, it's been a
You don't want to bank on them.
No, historically, it's been a shit show for this franchise. Chris, I'm gonna subject you to this. Cyril Richardson.
Ooh, Cyril.
I love that you know that. Oh, Cyril.
Yeah, Cyril.
Little Archer. Zebry Sanders. Yeah, exactly. I see a lot of blank stares. Ed Wang.
No, don't you talk shit about Ed Wang.
How about this? Duke Williams.
What about
Duke Williams? Only famous.
Austin Prohl.
Austin Prohl.
You had to drink a Seagram's for that one.
Duke Williams. I didn't think we'd draft a wide receiver.
And we drafted 2.
Duke Williams. Not famous because of anything he did on the field, but because he tried to slide into a porn star's DMs using the fact that, hey, baby, I'm a Buffalo Bill. And she goes, what the fuck is that?
It was
she didn't even know who the Buffalo Bills were.
Who was it? Was it Mia Khalifa?
Mia Khalifa.
She knew who the Bills were.
Mia Khalifa.
How awesome is that? It was one of the most embarrassing things for our franchise. Thanks, Duke Williams.
Yeah. Yeah, Mia Khalifa's screenshot was the most embarrassing thing in Bills history.
Wouldn't you just rather stand pat at 30 than trade back and maybe get stuck with one of those assholes?
Yeah, I would rather trade up than trade back.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I would say, what if you could go from 30 to 24 without trading your second round pick this year?
Chris?
I might sign up for that.
Trade your third and maybe a 2022 and say, let's move up to 24. Well, don't you dare trade up for a running back, for Christ's sake. Stay at 30 and take a running back all you want, but do not
trade up for a running back.
Do not force me to justify you trading up for a running back on draft night.
Oh, God. Well, I'll tell you what. We've covered a lot here tonight. I love
we were very laid back.
Very laid back. Everyone's relaxed. We're all having a good time. This is what this kind type of conversation should be. We've set the table for the draft. What position do you think should be prioritized for the Bills?
Guard and corner.
Okay. Guard and corner.
Guard and corner. Maybe I don't want to maybe prioritize one over the other.
All right.
I think they're both really important.
But you think they are the needs going into the draft
season? I wouldn't throw out defensive end and edge as another need because like if AJ Epenesa turns out and you draft another guy, maybe you have 2 bookend guys, you know.
Jalen Phillips.
On rookie deals.
On rookie deals.
I mean, we do have one of the oldest front sevens.
Eric Stokes is the name, though. Eric Stokes, God. I like a lot from Georgia.
Well, folks, that's it. This puts a bow on our season. The reason I asked Nate this question is because we're about to kick off our draft coverage. In the coming weeks, we're going to be talking all about how we're going to be scouting.
Got Connor Rogers coming up?
We've got
Maybe. We have a list of guests not put with a certain position, but I don't know if you see that on the board. Who's going to recap it? Nate Geary.
Nate Geary?
As you've done, I think, the last...
I'll bring the bees.
Two years in a... I think the last 2 years, you've been here for the draft recap shows.
A tradition like no other.
Yes.
It's phenomenal. Guys, thank you for showing up each and every week for this ridiculous podcast. What are you doing over at Cover One? Or just in general.
I'm going to be golfing.
Yeah, I'm going to be golfing.
That's what I'm taking a little hiatus.
That's why I love this guy. Because this time of year, he's like, fuck it, I work too hard.
I golf today. Who am I kidding?
See, what I love is that
my country club, Lancaster.
Oh, my country club.
My country
club. Not just a club.
No, mine.
My country club. God.
I stopped home to change, though, so I didn't come here in my country club attire. I didn't want to.
No, if you did, it would have been the best. Nate, we love having you. We love doing this. Chris, we got to get the fuck out of here. I'm Drew Geary. That's Chris Krueger. That's Nate Geary. This has been your Rock Pile Report.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.